everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is season 7, episode 30. Me, Jeff Leboff, Dustin Lawler, Stephanie Swain, all of us are here, and we have some guests today. In fact, we have two guests. They are Larry and Emily Johnson. They are opening a brick-and-mortar restaurant, one of the most successful food trucks in Atlanta, by the way, is called Little Bites. They have won awards from Creative Loafing. What was it, Atlanta Magazine or Creative Loafing?
Access Atlanta and Best of Cobb.
Okay. So that's 2019, 2020, and 2021. So you've really been ringing up a lot of awards. Food truck industry, I guess, over the last 5-6 years, maybe longer than that, it's really exploded. Food trucks are awesome. It's a great way to get a sample of really good, interesting food and not necessarily have to go to a restaurant. You can just go to a park or go where they are. And I think it's a great way to introduce yourself to things that aren't necessarily chain restaurants, because if anybody was hurt by the pandemic, you look around, a lot of your favorite restaurants and places like that are gone. And it's nice to see that that didn't affect you guys in that way. So please welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
Now we had Larry on quite a while ago when you were doing improv, Cineprov. Are you still doing Cineprov at all? Are you doing improv?
Not really. It's kind of, the Plaza was closed for some, but there was that pandemic. So, you may have heard about it.
Yeah.
But that kind of stopped us from doing live shows. Then we had a Patreon page for a while and did like recorded riffs, a bunch of those. And then, we've just sort of lost steam. We're hoping that the Plaza opens again. They're apparently putting like an upstairs theater in, so there's talk of eventually kind of restarting it.
So tell us about the food truck and how that got started and where that's gone over the last couple of years. Especially, I have to imagine that it was easier to use a food truck during the pandemic than it was to have a brick and mortar at that time.
Well, first off, I would never use the word easy in any of the what we've been doing. I'm kidding, making a joke. But we had corporate jobs, and there was one night we were like in bed, and I read a stupid Facebook quiz that said, ask your significant other these questions without prompting. And one of them said, if you see me being happy, what would it be? And he said, making food for people. You love to cook. And then kind of the next day we woke up and we said, let's figure this out. Let's do it.
And we jumped off a cliff together, and May was the start of our 5th year.
Wow.
Doing it. So it survived the pandemic, survived, like when we started, I didn't know which end of a knife to hold. So, we kind of survived all that stuff. you learn that quickly. You learn that everything is sharp or hot on a food truck.
And a lot of food trucks didn't survive this pandemic. But I think like what made us successful was that we got ahead of the curve. We saw what was coming and we said, all right, let's try to figure out how to handle it now instead of like after the fact. So we were the ones that kind of like, not the only ones, but we immediately said, how can we do contactless? How can we do online? How can we do anything to prevent, having interaction? And I think that's really what set us apart from some other trucks.
Yeah, we basically had like 31 gigs cancel on the Monday before St. Patrick's Day by emails and phone calls and stuff. So
that's 2020 when that happened.
Yeah. Yes. We day drank that day. That was Black Monday. We day drank quite a bit that day. And then the next day just like started driving around, finding neighborhoods and reaching out to their HOAs with like, hey, you guys can't go anywhere. We have contactless. We'll just show up. You guys can order online. We got our website together in like a day to be able to take online orders. And we were basically out of business for like 5 days, and then we were pretty much fully booked again through the bulk of it until breweries and stuff started opening. So
we actually did do pretty well during the pandemic.
Yeah,
I mean, weird. I don't want to like, easy it was not, but I feel like we were smart in how we handled it and were able to use it to our advantage, and it worked.
And we did start referring to people walking up their truck as walkers, which, nice. You know, it's gonna, you know, we didn't want people coming to the truck. So anytime they did, it felt very, very menaced by them. And we still just call them walkers now. It's pretty weird. Kind of stuck.
I know my job too. You just had to adapt. You adapt or you die. That was it.
Yeah.
You were just exactly. ordering shit from everywhere, trying to get whatever you could from wherever you could get it from. And that was all you could do. So that was pretty ingenious of you guys to just go out and scope out the HOAs.
Yeah. And then people started calling us, like other trucks, like, how are you guys doing this? Like food truck bookers started calling us. And we're like, yeah, we're not going to tell you everything, you know, we're giving you guys.
Figure it out.
Yeah. Figure it out. Like we did. Yeah, exactly.
Did you guys buy an existing food truck and customize it to be your own, or did you start from scratch with a brand new food truck? How did that work?
Okay, so it was completely from scratch. Did a lot of research. Since he had agreed that we're going to jump off this cliff together, we felt like we should probably do as much research as possible, and we found that a lot of trailers that people have converted are not built to support like food truck weight and where things are hung and everything like that. So we had it built from scratch from Redfern Dynamics in Cleveland. And they're great, and I would totally recommend them. I wouldn't take like a something from like you get from a U-Haul type thing and
try to retrofit it.
Yeah, it won't. It's not the best in the end.
You would take like an old trans van.
Right. Yeah, that's what people do, and we would not suggest it.
Or a bread truck or whatever.
Because you do have to follow health regulations, I imagine, right? Do they have?
Oh yeah. Kind of thing? Yeah, currently, and it's going to be changing in the new year, assuming it passes.
This is kind of big news.
Senate or something, but like currently, a food truck has to be health inspected and permitted in every county they operate in. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you want to work in like Cherokee, DeKalb, Fulton, Gwinnett, Forsyth, you know, it's like anywhere from like $200 to $600 for your permit every year.
You have to get a permit for every different county you go to?
Yeah.
And inspected by every county and subject to spot inspections by every county at any point in time.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that sounds like they just want to make money off of you.
Yeah. A bill did pass that starting next year, hopefully, now that we're out of the business, it'll be like a one permit for the state.
I'm super happy for people moving forward because it was such a pain in the ass because like every different county had different inspectors and there were certain things that they like one inspector would look for this and one would look for that and one would care about this and one would care about that. And it was, I mean, for the amount of time that we were in business, we were probably inspected at least three times more than what an average restaurant would have been in the same time that we were in business.
It'd be a shame for all if your hot dogs fell out the back.
How many free cheesesteaks did you have to give out?
None at all. The Fulton County one was funny because I was wearing a Phillies hat being from Philly.
I'm mad about this.
And the guy like walked on the truck, turned on the water, and then looked at me. He's like, oh, you're from Philly? I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, what part? We just started chatting. And he's like, all right, yeah, just go inside and pay them. And it's like, didn't open a fridge, didn't look at anything, you know? I mean,
see all the cats in our freezer.
Right, exactly. We're lousy with cats in the freezers.
$485 for him to come on the truck.
$585.
$585 for him to come in, turn on our water. And then there's some food inspectors that come on and they'll spend an hour on your truck, like while you're working.
Yeah. During a lunch.
Yeah. Or so
things have really changed over the years. Cause I mean, there were always food trucks, But they weren't called food trucks. Like my stepdad, he would always say if he came home from work, he'd be like, no, I ate off the Roach Coach today.
Right.
Roach Coach. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, for the most part, food trucks at this point are cleaner than restaurants just because there's so many inspections. You never know like when they're coming and stuff. So you gotta be on point every day. That's right.
The old, like what Steph was talking about, if you worked at a factory or, you know, a construction job or something, there'd always be like a food truck there, like one guy cooking with a cigar in his mouth and hairy body. Hey, what do you
have? It was never anything good. It was never anything appetizing.
No.
But the it food was just trucks, hot.
Modern food trucks have such good food most of them.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a kitchen in there. It's not playing around. We have, you know, two fryers, fridge, freezers.
It is a commercial. Stove. It's a commercial kitchen in a very small space. Yeah. Like overall, like it's been elevated, and it's like the standards are way higher.
The pink sauce truck is not doing very well. They don't have any refrigeration. You seeing this pink sauce stuff?
No,
I don't even know what he was talking about.
All right, it's viral on social media. It started on TikTok. This woman invented something called pink sauce, and it's supposed to be like pink ranch or something, and she's selling it. She has no idea how to follow FDA regulations, so people are getting it and getting sick because it's made with milk, and she's shipping it without refrigeration.
Oh god,
there's no preservatives. And on the label, instead of ounces, she put there's 440 servings. It's just incredible. Watch the videos. Steph puts it on everything.
Oh, I do. I love pink sauce. I bathe in it.
Like Jeff said, now you've moved on to brick and mortar that you're opening, and it's in Kennesaw.
Yeah, it's right by the football stadium, across the street from the KSU football stadium.
Great idea. So what are you doing before we get to it? What are you going to do with your food truck?
We're going to sell the food truck. So if anybody wants to buy the food truck, please reach out to us. Selling the truck, the trailer, the food trailer, the truck that pulls it, the generator, the tanks, the whole kit and caboodle.
It's basically turnkey except for a commissary, and you can't keep our brand because we're keeping our brand.
Right. Yeah.
And all right.
Otherwise, somebody could start, you know, in a week, basically.
Would you call it Big Bites?
Okay, they want to try that. That's all right.
Put a sticker on the roll.
We're kind of calling the restaurant Not So Little Bites. We put like a little asterisk with Not So in the logo, since it's, you know, we're going from 128 square feet to 2782 square feet.
It's a big
jump for us. It's bigger than we originally wanted, but just the location and the everything else that. It's a second generation restaurant, so a lot of the work didn't need to be done again, like the drains and pipes and things. So
yeah, when an opportunity comes along and you like, I don't care how scared you are, if it makes sense, you got to go for it. And
it has a bar, so we figured if we couldn't make up the difference in money that we wanted to spend with a bar on a college campus, something is wrong.
I would imagine. You know, a lot of people have staffing issues, but with you being right across from the college, there's probably a lot of college kids that's you won't have trouble keeping staff.
That's the hope. Yeah, we're basically attached to 4,000 student beds. There's like apartments directly behind us. So they come back to school on the 13th. So we're expecting a big influx of I need work at that point.
You're going to have so many fake IDs getting thrown at you. So many fake IDs.
Yeah, we'll beat those people out of the building. So one good, like, you know, landmark beating should do the trick to tell people not to let them know not to do it.
I want it noted that he was just joking.
Exactly.
Yes.
We're not going to beat anyone if they show up with a fake ID. Exactly. We will call the police, but no beatings.
We will call the police and their parents.
What kind of food will be on the menu?
You want to take that one?
So we're still trying to work out the full menu, but the base of it is going to be a variety of empanadas and flatbreads. So like our OG is buffalo chicken. So a buffalo chicken empanada, we're going to have a pulled pork empanada, a brisket with a cilantro lime crema dipping sauce. And then we're going to have some rotating ones like a bacon mac and cheeseburger.
Yeah.
We're going to have our flatbreads. We're going to have a veggie one. We're going to have, again, a brisket with caramelized onions and cilantro lime crema, and buffalo chicken just as an option for not fried. We're going to have fried okra, loaded fries, like fries with beer, cheese, bacon, ranch. And then, of course, one of our signature items, deep fried key lime pie.
Kenny's key lime pie.
What?
So we figured out how to take key lime pie and put it in funnel cake batter, deep fry it, and then put powdered sugar on top. And then serve it with a berry coulis or a berry dipping sauce.
So that sounds good.
Yeah, they're stupid good.
They're so good, they'll turn you stupid.
They really will. Yeah, it's a lot of times people order one and then come back and get two or three more to go.
18 more.
Yeah, exactly. The walkers come up and craving more.
You got more than
yeah.
When do you open, and how soon before Guy Fieri shows up?
We need to ask the Cobb County Liquor Department, liquor license people, about when we open. Basically, we're still waiting for permits to come through. Yeah. So we're hoping by early August. Originally August 2nd was our target start date. That's not happening. By mid August, I would say it's safe to say we'll be open. Knock wood, hopefully, you know.
I mean, they have to do a background check on both of us and then my child and then any unborn child that we haven't had yet and you know, distant relatives and everything.
And back to apparently the pilgrims.
They have to do all this background checking for us to be able to serve beer. So that's really the only thing that's been the biggest time-consuming hindrance. Well, no.
I mean, among
others. Okay, I'm sorry. There's been a lot of other things. Yeah. But that's the one that really will be the one that...
decides when we open.
Yes, there we go.
Yeah, we'll be ready. So as soon as the permit's there, we'll be able to open. Everything else will be ready. By next week.
Not going to try and do a soft open before you're allowed to serve alcohol?
We're probably gonna do like a friends and family kind of thing, just right, to get everybody used to the POS and the I mean, the good thing, our menu is pretty easy to cook, so we're not that concerned about that, but you know, it's still, it's new for everybody, you know, trying to figure out the symbol, you know, should we put trays
Mrs. and I'll have to come out there with Gilbert.
14 month old babies allowed,
of course.
Yeah,
I don't think we legally could tell you no. Unless, I mean, you don't want the 14-month-old to have beer, do you?
Right.
No.
He's just a weed guy.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, that's fine.
Okay.
Well, you just walk through the parking lot sometimes. You can catch a little buzz there.
So right behind it is the parking deck. So it's like,
oh god,
there's the stadium, our restaurant, and the parking deck for all the apartments and for the stadium. So we're like right in the middle of it. And so it's a pretty cool location, but we do sometimes get a little bit of contact high from the
big glaucoma problem over at KSU.
The first time I ever smelled pot was at a Buffalo Bills game in Buffalo at Rich Stadium. My dad took me up there. And I'm sitting in the stadium, and I go, "What's that smell? What's that smell?" My dad goes, "That's marijuana." Yeah. You guys are in such a great location, being next to the school.
Yeah, everyone keeps saying that. So
I'm finding every single one of you that keeps saying it. Everybody keeps saying it.
Yeah.
Well, kids are lazy. So they're just going to go to if you have good food and you add that to the laziness that kids have, then
yeah,
it's a win-win.
Oh, you know, and you know they're going to be DoorDash, and even though they're like right across the street, they'll still be DoorDash in the hell out of you.
We were talking about putting like a bucket for the walkway across the, there's like a bridge walkway.
There's apartments literally directly above us with communal like patios. So yeah,
nice. We were talking about just doing like a, you know, drug bucket with food instead of drugs. Just, you know, throw the money down and send the empanadas up. So that's kind of our long-term plan, is to open up more restaurants on campuses, kind of.
Smart idea.
Yeah.
Come with Gloria was.
Yeah, like our landlord, it's American Campus is our landlords, and they have basically retail on every college in the country.
Wow.
Yeah, we have like all kind of attached to student housing and stuff. So once we get this up and running, we'll sort of be like, you know, anytime one a restaurant becomes available that's already kind of built, let, you know, let us know.
She asked us before we brought it up. She said, you know, love your concept. Is that something that you would be willing to franchise or whatever and expand? And we're like, yeah. So, I mean.
Well, it's a good name, and it's something that I could see franchised just based on the name alone, you know, and the food is of course the primary thing, but it does have a great name. So.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun spot. We're going to have a couple of video games and pinball machine and, you know, touch tunes for music and fun. We're doing like a trivia night, a music bingo night, $3 brown bag mystery beer night.
Should do improv night.
We want people to come.
Oh, okay.
Come to the restaurant.
Oh, but, yeah. Well, come on now. You can't do right. No, comedy right. Night.
I said we're gonna have a fun restaurant too. Yes.
All right, we have a covered patio. We can do cornhole. No improv.
What about improvised cornhole? That'll get people in trouble.
Improvised cornhole. That'd be.
I suggest that you hire Dustin Hoffman and call it Little Big Bites. No,
I could do that. Yeah, we get a lot of little, like we get a lot of like, is this from like the Rick and Morty, the Little Bits thing? And we've embraced it. We're like, it's not, but we're cool with that. We
kind of let them think it is.
Yeah,
it's tiny food for your tiny little mouth.
It's just so little.
So if Radio Labyrinth came up there to do a podcast once the restaurant's running, we could maybe come up with our own empanada flavor.
Oh yeah. Empanada. Yes, of course.
I want an impossible empanada. You're gonna get a request for it.
You're talking about like meatless?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so meatless I can do, but you can't like just put that in a thing. Like what kind of flavors? Do you want like Korean barbecue or do you want like
yes.
You threw it out there, yes. so I'm challenging you.
Doing mac and cheese in it, or
like, so do you want like,
all of it? Yeah, yeah.
Yes, okay, yes.
Absolutely. So I want a whole flight. Give me a whole flight of these things. Right. I want all of these things.
We do flights of empanadas, but
we do
that now. We have if you get three, it's the international flight, or I'm sorry, the domestic flight. Four is the international flight, and when we have five on the truck, it's the Shatner.
Right. Yeah. That's awesome.
That's
all right. So, not so little bites opening soon. You know, where can people find you to you know keep in touch and find out when you're open?
Yeah, notsolittlebites.com is the website. Basically, at not so little bites is Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. Yeah, definitely just, you know, that's the best way, is just any of those places, because you can keep track of when we'll be opening.
Yeah.
We'll, you know, we'll definitely be announced. You know, we're not going to hide the fact that we're opening, that's for sure. People.
And if somebody wants to buy the food truck, they can contact you.
Yeah, they can contact us through there. Yes, please, by all means.
Jeff could buy and finally open his Fraser food truck where you just serve tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
There you go. That's a great idea.
We actually can't serve salad at our restaurant. We're two doors down from a Subway, so in our leagues, we can't do sandwiches or salads.
Really?
So, yeah, which sucks because our Philly cheesesteaks are the best in town, and we can't do them, but we're going to skirt around it with Philly cheesesteak empanadas.
What is this, Russia? Why can't you have a sandwich? How does Subway have so much power?
I don't know. It baffles us, you know. Like, isn't there something about like a good sandwich? Because we do those, or that's different, right?
Yeah, you don't.
We're eating so much Subway while we're both building out the restaurant.
You don't make your rolls with wrestling mat stuffing.
Yeah, it's just weird. It's a weird thing, but you know, we'll do the Philly empanadas. They're kind of amazing too. So,
what if you bring your own roll?
There you go. Bring your own roll, mate.
Bring your own roll. We'll slap it on there.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
It's a kit. We sell a kit, actually. We don't sell a sandwich.
So. No doubt. When I went to a Killer Grindhouse, when it was only still in the market, it was in the back. You know, you walk past all those fishnecks and stuff. But that was the only location it had. And this pretentious little douchebag rides his bike up to the back door with a banana, and he's like, I brought this fresh banana. Will you put it in my milkshake?
Okay, get out of here, asshole. Was
like, just shouldn't have peeled it. Just put it in there.
Like, what? Like, I don't know how, like, the day of the week would have been how I would have responded to that. Because it could have, I could have slapped it with a banana, or I'd have been like, you know what? Absolutely. Good for you. Bringing your own banana.
I was picturing him riding through Atlanta with this banana in his hand.
Picturing that.
Well, guys, thank you so much for coming on the show and letting us know. And it's good to see you again. Look, if somebody's looking for a food truck, you know, reach out and get a food truck because it's all ready for you to go. In fact, if you want to call it Big Bites, you, like I said, you just do a piece of tape and write big and slap it on there. You don't have to do anything.
Yeah. Or if you're looking for a server or bartender job, also reach out.
Yes. All right. Well, best of luck. Please keep us updated so we can come up there and eat.
Will do. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anytime. Bye, guys. Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Thank you.
Who died?
Who died?
Who died?
What's wrong? Who died?
What happened? Who died?
So, guys, it's been a weird week. Celebrities dropping all over the place. Some celebrities dying and then reanimating for a couple hours and then dying again. That's not funny. Where should we start? Okay.
Did you meet him, by the way?
No. But I'll tell you, I met the two other members of the show that were, you know. Well, Wally's best friend, of course, was Eddie Haskell, played by Ken Osmond. And of course, Jerry Mathers. Now, Ken Osmond and Jerry Mathers kind of reprised their roles doing a commercial that I shot for a radio station in Los Angeles called Kiss FM. And it was with my old company. So I think in 1997, it was the fall, I went out there to meet the two cast members from Leave It to Beaver who were in this ad. And the producer gave them the wrong address. So I had to run down from Santa Monica to the what the hell? I crossed some highway and went down and met them at the Santa Monica Pier, and I got to ride back in a truck with Ken Osmond while he chain smoked Benson and Hedges, and that was pretty cool. Riding in Eddie Haskell's pickup truck while he chain smoked and offered me one—that's a pretty cool story. But of course, we're not talking about either of those two. Ken Osmond passed away, what, last year or maybe the year before?
Yeah, a while ago.
Tony Dow passed away yesterday, and it was kind of a mess up because social media leaked that he had died and he hadn't died. Tony Dow, of course, played Wally Cleaver, who was Beaver Cleaver's older brother. Hey, Squirt. But I think we all grew up watching that show. I love that show. Oh, yeah. Until Beaver his voice changed, then I wasn't into it anymore. You know, he went through puberty, he got old. Toward the end, he's like, "Hey, mom, can Lumpy come over?" No, but it was a great show, and I think it's kind of cool that the set that they shot the show on, their house was only a couple houses away from the Munsters' house.
I didn't know that.
It's a pretty interesting little factoid. But Tony Dow, you know, he was a producer, and he did all sorts of film and television projects. He didn't really want to do any of the reboots, I think, but he always ended up doing them. And they brought it back a couple times in the 80s as a series, and I always thought that was funny. You know, Beaver's a loser and he has to live with his mom again. Rest in peace, Mr. Tony Dow. Also, two big names, David Warner, 80 years old. David Warner from Titanic, The Omen, thousands and thousands of other roles.
Tron, yeah. Master Controller.
A very talented character actor going way, way back, and he was 80 years old. Another guy, Paul Sorvino, probably best known for playing Big Paulie in Goodfellas. Now I got to turn my back on you. He made that character look like a decent guy in real life. I think the name was Paul Cicero. Might not be, but they had to change the names for the movie. But the real guy that is based on was a pig who was constantly trying to have sex with or pressuring Karen Hill to have sex with him. None of those people were decent at all, including Henry Hill and including Karen Hill. But if you're a fan of Goodfellas, you of course know who Paul Sorvino was. He's also in Bullworth. He was on Law and Order. In Bullworth, he shot Warren Beatty at the end. Remember, he was the insurance company guy?
Yeah.
Yep.
He shaved the garlic so thin. Yeah. So thin.
Bully had this way of cutting the garlic thin so it would disappear in the olive oil.
Paulie didn't move fast. That's because Paulie didn't have to move for anybody.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, rest in peace. Thank you. It's not that guy. But boy, all the mob guys, they're all getting together now. I hope they're plotting to take over, you know, their own little corner of heaven. They got a racket up and running. They got their shies going, you know, a little betting. So they'll be all right. Going to talk about our sponsor, who is a restaurant and also has a food truck. They're not selling theirs, though. They're going out and about on the pizza food truck. Of course, I'm talking about Atlanta Pizza in Euro. Okay, we love Atlanta Pizza in Euro. They're our longest sponsor. They've been a fan and a sponsor of ours almost since the beginning. So I want to thank Mike Hall et al. At the restaurant. Atlanta Pizza in Euro is driving into the summer and through the summer because we have, what, 1.5 months of summer left with weekly food truck events, team trivia nights, catering events, and more. Go to their Facebook page to find out all the information about that. Stop by the restaurant and grab an ice cold local craft beer like Gate City Brewing's Copperhead American Ale or Athens, Georgia's own Terrapin Watermelon Gosa. A very refreshing tart yet thirst-quenching brew for the summertime. Atlanta Pizza in Euro loves serving the local community of Conyers, Covington, and the East Metro Atlanta area, and would like to thank them for all their continued support and business throughout the years. So they are open for dine-in and takeout Monday through Friday from 11 to 9 p.m., Saturday from noon till 9, closed on Sunday. And the address, in case you were wondering, is 1565 Georgia, 138 Conyers, Georgia. And you can come from, you know, the east side of the west side of town. You can come from the north side, south side. Just go try them out. You will not regret it. And if you, you know, can't make it out there, just like I said, go to the Facebook page, find out where the food truck's going to be. They'll be glad that you did. Also, we have our good friend, Brett Perkins. That's his name, right, Stephanie? Brett Perkins?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, I'm not an idiot. I just have Brett written here, and I remember the last name, so I'm not a dummy. Brett is awesome. He is back, and we want to tell you about his company. Do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? You might. You don't know. You could. And if you do, well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens in Athens, Georgia, since 2005, almost 20 years, with fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or just email them at athens@ldiline.com.
But what are you watching?
Watching here.
What are you watching?
Okay, so what are we watching?
What are we watching?
What are you watching?
I don't know. What else? Did you guys watch Better Call Saul?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people are bitching about it.
I saw that, and I don't understand why they're bitching. What a crazy episode.
Because they recast Jeff.
Yeah, why did they do that?
Because Don Harvey was doing that We Own the City show.
Okay.
He couldn't come back to shoot this episode.
Okay. Jeffy. And
they announced that, like, months ago, that it was going to happen. Yeah, they just didn't know which episode it was going to be.
So people were mad about that, and then when they heard the voice in the preview, people started bitching about it.
Yeah.
What voice?
And then the voice of Jeff.
Okay.
The cab driver who made Saul.
Right.
So they were bitching about that, and then everybody's mad because Walt and Jesse haven't shown up yet.
Well, why would they be mad about that? First of all, Vince Gilligan said they were going to be on the show. Wouldn't you expect that they would be on the show that's going to be the episode that's directed by Vince Gilligan, right? Steph, you posted something I saw. And I don't remember where I saw it, but it was interesting. What did you say?
Somebody posted in the Radio Shack about it. I just said that I thought that he was basically... It was fun to watch him do all that stuff, but he wasn't as good as he used to be.
Yeah,
and he was very scared because whenever he almost got busted in that one scene, he freaked the fuck out.
So
he was that wasn't like the old Jimmy. It's like he definitely, the whole Walt thing has messed him up.
So Slippin' Jimmy was slipping.
He was. I mean,
well, when Slippin' Jeffy slipped on the
floor. So to back up a little bit, and spoiler alert, if you're not caught up yet, this is the first time we're seeing an entire Gene episode. So in this episode, it's 100% Gene. It's black and white. Carol Burnett is in it. She did a guest spot as Jeff's mom. She was fantastic. I mean, she opens the show primarily at the grocery store.
Yeah.
And amazing. He does talk about Walt a little bit in the show.
Yeah.
It's so well written, so well directed, so well paced. It's one of my favorite episodes from the season. And I did see on Reddit a lot of people complaining about it. When are we going to get Walt? When are we going to get Jessica? Sure. You don't need those two. And by the way, if they're in it at all, and they will be because they're shot, do you want to see a whole episode with them in it?
No.
What about you? What about you guys?
I don't know. I mean, it depends on how it's done. I trust Vince Gilligan.
Yes.
I trust him. So whatever he does with it, I'm sure it will be entertaining.
He's the only competent Gilligan to ever do anything on television. The other Gilligan fucked everything up.
I don't know, but all... Seeing Jerry from Parks and Rec eat all them Cinnabons. Yeah. Oh my God.
That was a genius plot.
It was.
On Gene's docket there, you know, just getting him, like the first guy didn't like him and then he had to make up with him. And then I don't know. The writing again is amazing. There isn't a better television show on right now, I don't think. And I know I say that every once in a while about something I'm really into, but it's so good. And it's been good from the beginning. And in some ways, I think it's a better series than Breaking Bad.
Oh, they're learning as they go to do better storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I feel like some people aren't used to the way that they do things. It throws you off when you have three kind of serious episodes and then they give you this. Yeah. And I love that about it. I love these little lighthearted breaks, which is something we did not get from Breaking Bad at all, the last three seasons. After shit went sideways with Jesse, it was never fun again. Right. It was just like, oh, let me get through this. Like, you enjoyed it, but it was...
Yeah.
I saw comparing it to the Fly episode of Breaking Bad that was the one-off. It was very similar to that, and that was the only reference that people were getting was, like, they didn't get that that's what it needed to be. It needed to be a break in the show, in the flow of the show, because the flow of what's coming next is going to be so different that you couldn't run it straight through.
So there's three episodes left. One, I said, directed by Vince Gilligan, written and directed. I don't know. We don't really know what they're going to be. There's a lot of speculation. I've sort of become addicted to the Reddit subreddit, the Better Call Saul subreddit. I love watching people make predictions. All the Kim predictions were wrong. Everybody was wrong on the Kim predictions, but we don't know yet. We don't know if she's going to be back or not.
Well, it's like the person who posted the thread in the Radio Shack. And they responded to me. I think is it Che Butler? Is he the one who posted it?
Yeah, I think it is. Him.
And he responded. He goes, "Well, you know, he's going to run into Kim again because she's from Nebraska."
Yeah.
So that makes sense as to why he is in Nebraska.
Yeah.
He knew she was from there. Maybe he's hoping he's going to run into her.
Is Jeffy's mom going to report Saul to the cops because he may show up on one of those, you know, America's Most Wanted shows, and she's going to recognize him, right? What kind of trouble did Jeffy get into when he was in Albuquerque? And again, I've seen theories that Jeff is Kim's brother and that Carol Burnett's character is Kim's mom. So I doubt that.
Hmm.
They did say that Carol Burnett was going to be in multiple episodes, not just one. So I don't know. Something's going to happen with her.
Would you be upset or would you be satisfied for Gene / Jimmy / Saul to get caught and put in jail? Or do you want to see a happy ending?
I'd just like to see him and Kim get back together or something.
Dustin's death.
As long as it involves Kim, you don't mind. Yeah. As long as she's involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going by, I don't know what I really want to see, but I do feel like Gilligan's pattern is that when you've done as much bad stuff as Jimmy's done, he's going to have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lawyers are sleazy and they get away with all that shit all the time.
It's not just what he did as a lawyer.
Right.
The stuff that he did to
Jimmy stuff.
Well, no, I'm talking about what they just did to Howard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody has to pay for Howard.
That was pretty bad.
Well, they didn't intend to get him killed.
But they were going to ruin his life. His life was going to be ruined.
Walter redeemed himself by sacrificing his life to save Jesse. That's how Walter redeemed himself. There was no other way that he was going to be able to do it. Jesse is gone. He survived. And for all the misery that he put up with for those seasons of Breaking Bad, he deserved to live. But Jimmy, who we all like, he's an anti-hero. He's funny. We all like Bob Odenkirk. We all like Jimmy. Jimmy has to pay.
So. Yeah, I don't think he's going to get away scot-free. I just don't think it's going to happen. Yeah. But he may end up with Kim as his lawyer. Maybe she decided to get her license back in Nebraska and she's his lawyer.
Sorry, Jeff. What were you going to say?
I'd hope something good happens with Kim.
Mm-hmm.
As far as what happens with Saul, I could go either way.
Yeah, I do want Kim to make it out.
Yeah.
Dustin, what do you hope for? Watch it someday?
I hope to one day know what in the fuck you guys are talking about.
Yes, I understand that. There's a lot of shows you guys could talk about that I would just be sitting here going, huh? One of them would be Bear. Everybody's telling me to watch Bear. God.
Good.
I'm sure you guys are all watching.
I was going to try and talk to the restaurant people about it because the restaurant part of it really stressed me out at first.
Yeah.
On the Bear.
Yeah.
It was hard to watch. Like, I quit watching it because I'm like, I can't handle this. This is too stressful.
Yeah, but that was only like the first couple episodes, and I guess it had to be like that to show how fucked up the brother had left the state of the restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah, and how and
it tapers off after.
Yeah,
three or four,
and how the this dude that's like a professional chef whipped it into shape.
Yeah, so. Given what he had to work with.
Yeah,
and they have him. Was he the head chef at the French Laundry or something?
Yeah,
yeah.
So I should watch it then. How many episodes are there so far?
It's like six or eight episodes.
Yeah,
it's done.
Yeah,
it's done.
Yeah, it's finished for the season.
Yeah, they've already got signed up for. Season two, it's already been greenlit, so
I guess I better watch it then, huh?
Are you watching, but are you caught up on Only Murders?
No.
Okay.
This week was good.
That's why I texted Jeff today, which I'll give you a foreshadowing. I just said, I want soap!
I'm not caught up on Only Murders. I did finish, because Caitlin finished it, we finished Hacks, and that was good.
Yeah.
I'm behind on Physical, Only Murders, and of course I'm one episode behind on The Old Man. But that last episode before this most recent one was amazing. That show is so fucking good.
Yeah.
That last episode of Physical, I'd say that's right up there with Better Call Saul as far as like shows that I'm completely like, I can't wait to watch. I can't wait to watch that show every week. So you did get to see, you're caught up enough to see her and Roy Scovel when they did that whole workout routine to that
not
song.
Yet. Not that one yet. So maybe I'm too behind, right?
Okay, then you're too behind.
All right, I better get caught up this week. And I promise I will. I swear to God.
Roy Scovel's been great.
Yes.
Love him.
Oh, by the way, speaking of comedians, thanks to Caleb Sinan for doing the podcast last week.
Oh, okay.
WSB radio show and also podcast. This week I have Dave Willis coming on to talk about the new Aqua Teen Hunger Force 20 DVD box set that's coming out that I won't be able to afford.
Yeah, put in a good word for me. See if you can get me one.
Yeah, okay. Well, he's not carrying them around in his car. also want to find out more about when the movie's coming out, but I'll get more.
The movie's coming out.
I'll get caught up on some of these shows so we can talk about them next week.
Just heard the latest news on the radio.
News, 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 news.
NPR TV, and now for the latest news.
In a little bit of news here before we go, Maud is going to be the next Norman Lear show to be live. Unfortunately, they're doing the abortion episode, which means I'm not going to watch it. And happy 100th birthday this week to Norman Lear. Man, what a legacy that guy has.
Who's playing Maud? Jane Lynch?
I don't know. They haven't
said great. That's a great idea. They're doing Maud's Dilemma. So this is Maud has an abortion before. This is the first time anybody on TV had ever had
one. That's probably the most famous episode of Maud.
No, the one with Florida would have been a better one.
Well, wasn't Maud like 50 when she had this abortion?
I think so. She's definitely in her 40s. I'm going to have an abortion, Walter.
Maud, you can't have an abortion. I'm the husband. You have to ask me. Come on, Maud.
Conrad Bain does it. I don't know. I'm just tired of that topic. Tired of hearing about it.
Abort this topic.
Yeah. But I would do the one with Florida and James, you know? That was a great episode. It was very uncomfortable.
The crossover.
Yeah, where Maud is like the liberal savior Florida's like, well, I can take care of myself, bitch. You know, and even the premise of Good Times, that was a family show. And you could take a family and put it in any situation. And that's why it's called a situational comedy. You put them in that situation and they flourish as a family. And that trope has existed since television. But, you know, of course, it was very littered with stereotypes. All those shows were. And we're no longer in that era anymore.
The only time that was done prior or whatever with it being the flip would be The Jerk.
Yeah.
They were his savior.
Yeah, no doubt. I was born a poor black child. But in a way, don't you think he's mocking that whole thing?
Yeah. Or I always thought it was. Yeah, I thought he was going bucking the comedy, current comedy craze.
Yeah.
They never do tell you where David came from, though. Do they ever tell you?
No.
He was with them and they raised him. That was it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You mean I'm going to stay this color?
He hates those cans.
He hates those cans, random son of a bitch.
I'm listening to an audiobook. George Guidall is narrating it. And one of the characters he does, and this is like the sixth book, he's doing like, I'm doing an Emmett Walsh impersonation. The whole book is like,
about that. Mother Scratchers. Anyway.
No, not that Mother Scratcher.
You Mother Scratcher.
So look for the Maud. Do you want to do views and snooze?
Okay.
Views.
Or.
And snooze.
Snooze. Last week was The Last Movie Stars, which I've watched one of. I'm going to still keep watching it, though. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I watched three of them. Good.
I don't know if I like Clooney being Paul Newman. Do you?
I don't love it, but I don't. It's not enough to deter me from watching it.
It's not a documentary. It's a movie.
It's a documentary, but the thing is, Paul Newman was going to write an autobiography at one point, maybe in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
So he wrote a bunch of stuff and then taped it and then burned the tapes.
Oh.
At some later point when he was, he'd given up on the project and he just decided to burn them all. So they have the transcripts.
Okay.
Of all everything that he wrote. So he Ethan Hawke recruited a bunch of people to read these different transcripts. And he's got George Clooney reading the ones for Paul Newman.
Okay.
Should have done that Andy Warhol thing.
And yeah.
Had the AI.
Clooney's got such a distinctive voice that I hear George Clooney and I don't hear, I want to hear Paul Newman. You know what I mean?
You're right about that, because everybody else that they got to read, you can just go ahead and buy that's that person. You'll just think about it.
So it was good. I'm going to watch the rest of it. But yeah, Last Movie Stars. Gray Man, did anybody watch that?
I loved it.
Netflix.
That was great.
Yeah.
People are liking it.
He's a good action star.
He reminds me
of an 80s action star. Like, not a hokey version, but like when it started writing good stories. and they started making good action movies, kind of focusing more on the story than the action, or at least split the quality between both. Yeah. It was good. And it was the Russo brothers, by the way. Last week, yeah. Last week I got that wrong, but yeah, it was the Russo brothers.
So I haven't watched that yet, but I'm planning to. And the A Practical Joker Shark Week Spectacular was on. I watched it. It was pretty good. Wasn't really funny, but
I watched some clips.
Shark Week stuff's not supposed to be funny, really. Hmm. They try to make it more educational for people that like watching, but just for the sharks, you know. So it was good. I watched it. All right, this week's number one is Light and Magic on Disney Plus, the 6-part documentary from Lawrence Kasdan about George Lucas, Industrial Light and Magic.
That's a maybe for me.
I'll watch it. I liked all the B-roll stuff they had on, you know, all the Star Wars extras. You know, they had like little DVD, you know, little documentaries on there. I imagine this is going to be like a big comprehensive, like full, you know.
They've done, I mean, before Lord of the Rings came along, they were like the effects house for every good movie.
Until Peter Jackson created Weta.
Yeah. I'm going to watch it. It's on Disney Plus. It's a views for me. Number two, The Most Hated Man on the Internet. No, it's not about Tim's Twitter. It's a Netflix 3-part series on revenge porn magnate Hunter Moore. That's also on the 27th.
That's a views for me.
I knew it would be a views for you. It's a maybe for me.
Maybe.
And number three, The Resort on Peacock. I'm looking forward to this, although Peacock doesn't have a huge record of great shows, but that Craig Robinson show is really good. But this one is from the guy, one of the creators of Lodge 49, which we all loved. It's kind of like Peacock's answer to The White Lotus.
The White Lost?
The White Lotus.
Yeah, I know, The White Lost. Yeah.
And Nick Offerman's in it, a bunch of other people. The dude from High Maintenance is a guest star, and he directs several of the episodes. Hmm. The dude from High Maintenance.
The dude.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's maybe a view for me. I think it's going to be good.
Maybe for me.
I like Palm Springs and Lodge 49, so I'll give it a views.
Yeah, I loved Lodge 49, and Palm Springs was good.
Okay, guys, thank you. It was a great show. That was fun. Thanks again to our guests. Make sure that you are following them on social media so you know when I want to say Little Big Bites, but no. That's
not so Little Biggins.
Not so little bites.
No, it's not. But thank you to our guests, Larry and Emily Johnson, and check out their restaurant. But also, before you check out the restaurant or immediately after, you have to go to Atlanta Pizza in Euro because they're the sponsor. So I'm telling you.
They don't serve pizza at Little Bites. So it's not a competition.
Right.
Not a conflict of interest.
And Mike can serve salads.
Yeah, that's true. And gyros. So anyway, guys, thanks again. We will talk to you next week. Oh, by the way, if you'd like to become a Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews, become a Patreon member, be a producer, and you'll get a t-shirt. That we need to work on a new t-shirt for the fall.
And rate us.
Yes, go to iTunes, Spotify, any of those sites and rate us and leave a good review. Or if you want to watch us on YouTube, or if you don't want to watch us on YouTube and you want to listen, at least go to the YouTube page and follow and subscribe and then like all the videos and stuff, because Dustin puts a lot of work into that. And we need to get 1,000 subscribers. Once we get that, that's when the money train.
Yeah.
He made it to YouTube. Must be filthy rich.
Yeah.
What do you do? Share the video. Share it to your grandma. Share it to whoever you think is going to, you know, get into it.
Yeah. You have an old decrepit uncle who can only speak by hitting a bell in a wheelchair. Send it to him because he can't get up and change it. Ding, ding, ding.
Hit the subscribe button for him while he's there.
That's right.
Ding. He can hit the subscribe button with his bell finger.
Oh, that's right. Ding.
Ding, ding. Turn on the alerts so you know when we have a new episode on, okay? All right, guys. Thanks. We will talk to you next week. Until then, please remember to keep it.